What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 136. And folks, we're in the middle of quite the disaster here in the United States of America, where myself and my guest are both located. I don't really know any other way to say it, but we're going to try to keep your spirits up while we try to keep our own spirits up and, you know, talk some Japanese wrestling, what little of it is happening right now. And, you know, hopefully just keep, like I said, keep your spirits up. So my guest is actually not the person I originally said over Twitter. Jack, unfortunately, could not make it. But Thomas, who I also had asked to do this episode. Now, you said you couldn't do it. Then you were like, well, everything I was going to do got canceled. Whatever you had today on this Sunday, March 15th, got canceled, like everything else in this country, except for bars. The bars are still open. Don't worry about that. if you want to pile in to a fucking bar and get a motherfucking virus, the United States of America is here to help. but yeah, bar, everything other than the bars are closed. So I don't know. What were you doing today that you got canceled, Thomas? Can you say it on the air?
Sure, yeah. So I do writing for Voice of Wrestling, but I also do college football and the hoopy hoops, as you would call it on Twitter, John, college basketball writing. And so right now I should be in Greensboro, North Carolina, or I guess I'd be on my way back at this point, covering that, the ACC basketball tournament. But obviously that got canceled a few days ago. Like Wednesday night, I was sitting, watching the hoopy hoops. And I got some notification on my phone that we weren't going to be able to come back the next day. They were going to do essential personal only. And then the next day I found out it was just completely canceled. So a little sad about that, but I think it's probably for the best, all things considered. 20,000 people cramping in an arena, yeah, not the most sanitary place.
Probably not. Yeah. I mean, like, so you brought the hoopy hoops. If people didn't see the tweet, I guess, there's this guy, some fucking blue check mark, Trump-loving fucking sports writer from Wisconsin. Like, two tweets down, he's like, yeah, Trump! About the fucking stock market going up. Because, man, if there's one public official in the goddamn world who's just doing a great job at this coronavirus, it's definitely Donald J. Trump. And I know we don't get political on the show very often, but folks, if you're listening to this and you are a Trump supporter, congratulations on dooming the entire country. Anyway.
No, absolutely. I was, you know, before this week, once it became clear Joe Biden was going to be the Democratic nominee, I was like, oh, well, 4 more years of Trump. And now I'm like, well,
he might
have fucked it up for himself.
Mr. Weekend of Bernie's might be able to do it. So not the good Bernie, but Weekend of Joe. David Hook said, he's like, so this guy, this fucking dipshit on Twitter, today should have been a day of college basketball games and a few cold beers. Instead, coronavirus stole it. Imagine explaining to a D-Day veteran that sports were canceled because of a virus. And then everybody pointed out, a fucking D-Day veteran would probably be able to understand. And first of all, if you can find one that like is of the correct mental faculties and everything. But they remember that like fucking, what, like a few years before World War II broke out was the goddamn, oh no, a few, I guess longer than that. But like the fucking 1918 outbreak. Like, the D-Day veteran might be like, yeah, I get it, because my fucking brother died from the Nazi flu in the last D-Day outbreak. So anyway, I mean, the 1918 outbreak.
It was so funny. I cannot stop cracking. No, I love college basketball as much as anyone. It's tough for me, you know, because, you know, I spent money going there and everything. But, I mean, it was clearly the right decision. Like, I walk into the arena, and they're like, hey, guys, we have, you know, enhanced sanitation for everything, and there's just a thing of Purell at the door.
Enhanced sanitation. They have things of Purell at the fucking mall. Is that enhanced sanitation?
Guys, that'll get us. You know, I'm sure everyone will sanitize their hands and nothing will happen. You know, yeah. Not to mention the unlimited refill soda. Everyone walking up and, you know, putting their cups that, you know, their mouths were on 30 seconds ago. You know.
Yeah.
Very sanitary.
So, yeah. I mean, we're all stuck in our houses. Basically, if you're a responsible human being, and in the United States of America, you should be prepared to, you know, be stuck in your house for the next few weeks at least, maybe a month or more. But if you're irresponsible, I don't know if this dumb shit country is going to cancel everything. I mean, they've canceled a lot, but like we said, the bars are still open in most cities. Some cities are finally doing it. Like Hoboken, I know, just did it over, which is like a city in New Jersey right across the river from New York City. So I assume New York is going to have to follow suit at some point because like it already looks like a disaster here.
But I will say, I mean, I put a lot more of the blame on, you know, governmental officials not closing the bars than, you know, the idiots going to the bar. I mean, like that's, you know, public safety is, you know, blame the government, not the poor single guy.
Blame the idiots too, but they're pretty stupid.
No, they're incredibly stupid, but still, I mean, don't give people that opportunity, I guess.
But yeah, I mean,
give them the opportunity to go. You see Big Japan Pro Wrestling.
Now the good news is it's a good transition. Is things in Japan, well, at the same time things in America look really bad, things in Japan look, you know, I wouldn't say great, but they look like they've got it under control. It's hard to tell because if you look at these daily trackers, they're not testing a ton of people like South Korea. They're testing a lot more than we are, by the way, but they've, you know, not like a ton of people per capita, but like their case number is not super high. More importantly, there's been no explosion of deaths or anything like you see in Italy. And, you know, there's been like,
which is crazy for a country that has such an
advanced it's a very old country. So there's been no explosion of deaths. I think they're only up to like 22 last time I checked, which, you know, any amount of deaths is bad, but that's a lot less than Italy. And there's been no run on the hospital beds either, as far as I can tell. I read these articles a lot, you know, and like I've been tracking with Japan Times a lot, and I have friends over there I talk to. And, you know, it's nothing like, again, nothing like Italy. So it sounds like a lot of the promotions are going to try to come back next week. You know, there's a lot of shows that are on the books that they are not canceling yet. And we're getting pretty close. Like the March 20th DDT Korakuen is still scheduled. The March 23rd All Japan Korakuen is still on the schedule. The March 21st Tokyo Joshi show at Itabashi Green Hall is still on the schedule. Those DDT and Tokyo Joshi shows would be big because those would be like the first two, I guess you could say, corporate-owned shows to come back in front of crowds. Stardom has a March 24th Korakuen, and they haven't said anything yet. And, you know, Kidani had like a kind of cryptic tweet, but like an optimistic tweet where he said, like, you know, we've been stealing ourselves at Bushiroad and getting ready for the, you know, getting our defenses ready. And I'd like to start our counterattack soon. So I think they're preparing like they're going to come back. You know, I don't want to promise anything because, you know, we're recording this on Sunday the 15th. I assume most of you will hear it either late Sunday or early Monday or even later on. You could be listening to this and be like, ah, John, they all canceled all that. I'm like, I'm giving you the information I have right now. If I had to guess, actually, I don't think cancellation is even one of the two most likely outcomes. I think if they can't run these shows in front of fans, they'll just run them empty arena, because that's what Stardom did at Korakuen on March 8th. New Japan turned their Korakuen. I mean, they're all keeping the Korakuen dates, I assume, because you already had to spend the money probably. But New Japan just turned their Korakuen dates into those talk shows, like that Naito and Hiromu talk show. And the Tanahashi and Ibushi one. So I assume they're going to keep these dates either way. I think we'll know more when Abe speaks and the government panel speaks again. But right now, I kind of think Japanese wrestling is going to be able to come back, you know, even beyond the pipes of promotions we're talking about today that never left us, really. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, I should say. And I think, I mean, unless things get really bad again in Japan, like, you know, a ton of deaths and, like, the hospital beds are overrun, I think New Japan will probably be able to do Sakura Genesis on the 31st. I'm sure that's their target. I'm sure they want to do it. So, you know, I guess we'll see, you know, what, I mean, and that, I'm sure that they would do that, like, just how they did King of Pro Wrestling after, I was getting confused, was a tsunami or typhoon? One of the two.
I don't even know the difference.
But yeah, it was, well, one of them involves like a big wave.
Yeah,
like,
it's like a hurricane. I think it's typhoon. And a wave.
Yeah, hurricane is typhoon, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it was a typhoon. They didn't have the wave, thankfully. But yeah, they, like how King of Pro Wrestling after the typhoon was like the big, like, you know, Japan getting together to celebrate moving past it and at least like trying to rebuild. I think they want Sakura Genesis to be the same kind of thing in Sumo Hall. I mean, that's why that Okada Sonata match at King of Pro Wrestling, one match of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah, in Tokyo Sports, because it was like this big moment to Japanese people of like, okay, we're gonna get past this. And I think they would love to come back at Sakura Genesis and do that again. You know, the question is, will they be allowed to? And, you know, that is a bigger show than running Korakuen. So if things don't look great in 2 weeks from now, then I'm sure they won't be able to do it. But you know, it's on the books right now, and I know for a fact they want to do it, but you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
John, I heard from a very trustworthy source that it's all going to go away on April 1st because everything's going to get hot.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, the seasonality of this is it's an open question, and there are, you know, there definitely are some scientists and doctors that seem more convinced than others that there's going to be a seasonal aspect to it, but what people I don't think understand is that probably means it's going to come back even worse in the winter. So
yeah,
like next, like, I don't know, it's not really, you know, it's like whichever way this goes, you know, for, I mean, the I don't want to sound too, I mean, look, it's no good to panic people either. I've read a ton about this virus. I've read, you know, I've been following a lot of people on Twitter, like, you know, doctors and scientists and stuff like that. And, you know, some of them, I mean, they'll tell you it's not, you know, it's not deadly to most people listening to this. But, like, you know, we all have to do our part together, because there are definitely people out there who it is extremely deadly to, you know, older people and people with, you know, underlying issues with their immune system. And the only way we can stop it from spreading is to work together and, you know, like they say, lower the curve.
Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve.
And also, like, I mean, this is a wrestling podcast, but it is true that generally it's mostly dangerous for people with underlying health problems or people that are older, but like perfectly healthy people can still be, you know,
right,
completely destroyed by it.
Yeah, your chances are low, but that doesn't mean it's
zero. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So like, you know, I mean, I'm doing the work, but my job, you know, which has always been very, very reluctant to have people working from home, especially me and my role. I mean, the fact that my job is letting me work from home is just like, you know, I don't know. That's like one of those moments where it's like, this is incredibly serious, because otherwise, you know, my job would not be having me work from home. They do not enjoy that. So But yeah, I mean, I'm bunkered down here. I'm assuming I'm going to be here for a while, you know, cancel plans to go to karaoke next week. I mean, we all got to do our part, you know?
John, I heard you got a free room, an AC. You going to take him up on that offer?
No. So as a, I guess I can tell that story, sure or not, as a low level, a very, very low level table gambler. So people don't know. The casinos, and see, I have to give backstory for this. This is why it's a long story, because people don't know anything about gambling. If people who play slot machines and like electronic games, that's who the casinos want, right? Because they don't have to be helped by an actual person that has to be paid, and because they lose their money. You know, the odds of losing their money are much greater at those games, right? The easiest way to explain it. Like a slot machine, your chances of winning are significantly worse than playing blackjack.
Right, because blackjack, there's at least, you know, some control of the person.
Yeah, and it's just a very low house edge game. It's like, if you play it correctly, it's like, I don't know, like 0.6% versus like 9% for a slot machine, which is a big difference. But yeah, so I am a very low level table game player. Like when I go to Atlantic City, maybe once a year, or Foxwoods once a year, you know, I'm playing like, I'm the person looking for the $5 craps table or the $5 or $10 blackjack table. So usually the casinos do not give me anything. Like they will, you know, they'll be like, here's a weeknight room, basically, when no one else is here. We'll give you a free room on a Monday. But, you know, very occasionally, if I played a lot, which usually means I won a lot too, because it's the only way I can play for a long time, they'll give me like a Friday night room, maybe on my next trip. I got an email from the Tropicana Atlantic City being like, how would you like a free room on a Saturday night? And like in 10 years of playing, you know, extremely low level table games, I've never gotten a free Saturday night room. Those rooms, they charge like $400 a night for normally. So like, yeah, that's where I'm like, ah, oh, they really have nobody gambling if they're going all the way down the list to me to try to offer me a free Saturday night room. It's like no one is coming to Atlantic City at this point. And think of all the trouble Atlantic City's been in, and they've never offered me a Saturday night room before, even with all these casinos going bankrupt and stuff. So yeah, the coronavirus is affecting everything and everybody. That's I guess the moral of that story. I don't remember what I was going to say. You totally got me off of whatever I was doing.
Sorry.
Oh, what I was going to say was we're all trapped here with, we're all going to be like self-isolating and social distancing and not going out as much and working from home. So the good news is the hopeful news is hopefully as things get, you know, very bad here in America and we all do our part and stay home more, you know, maybe Japanese wrestling will be coming back and, you know, will give us, you know, stuff to watch while we're all sitting at home. I think that's the hopeful, you know, if things look good in Japan and things don't look nearly as bad as they do here. I think that's, you know, something we're all hoping for is more Japanese wrestling to come back. And it looks, you know, it looks, I would say I'm, like I said, cautiously optimistic that we're going to have more stuff to watch. Now, is American wrestling going to be in front of big crowds for a while? I think no. I think we're going to see. I hope you enjoyed SmackDown from the Performance Center, because I think you're going to get a lot of that for a while.
God, that looks so awkward.
It was really, really weird. I mean, there's really no other way. Like, I tweeted about it too, but like, whereas the Tokyo Joshi, like, dojo shows, if people didn't see that, made the entire point of it, like the lack of a crowd, and they made, you know, they cut their promos directly into the camera because that's where the people are, you know, they kind of like really worked around it. Whereas SmackDown, it was like the normal WWE stuff with people posing and cutting promos to empty chairs. And it was like, this is just your normal show in an empty arena. It doesn't really make sense. There was some stuff that made more sense. Like when Roman Reigns came out for that sit down interview with Michael Cole, he actually behaved like a human being would behave in the situation, and like an empty, like he was very low key. And he does, like, I think his best promo work when he is very low key and just like talking. So, you know, he did a great job. I thought Roman was good. But like
Roman, Bailey, like, and the Dirty Secret, Roman's always pretty good.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much of a secret it is. He's good. He's a good wrestler and a good promo when he's not doing like ridiculous lines. They still had to work in a ridiculous line in that promo where he said something like, "Oh God, what was it? Something about like I am." I know I tweeted about something about his performances, but anyway, so like Sasha and Bayley though are out there like basically cutting promos to nothing, basically. Like, and they were like cutting the normal promo to the empty chairs. So that was bad. But Roman's promo was good, other than lines like, I have mastered the nuances of performance, which I'm like, okay, that was definitely scripted for you. And he always, and Roman's one of those guys that has this look on his face when he knows a line is fucking stupid and he has to say it anyway. And he has that look on his face like, what the fuck am I even saying right now? So, but other than that, it was a good promo.
John, speaking of American wrestling, are you ready for WrestleMania Riyadh?
I'm very excited for WrestleMania Riyadh. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. It would rule if it did. But
that would be just
rumor. The rumor I'm hearing is like June now. WrestleMania June now. Which God knows if we'll even be able to come back in June at the rate this country's going. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I just hope, I guess we talked a lot about the coronavirus more than I expected to, honestly. So I just we'll end this little mini segment with I sincerely hope everyone listening takes care of yourself, takes care of your loved ones. I hope this terrible disease does not affect any of you directly. You know, I'm getting a little emotional. I love my listeners. I love you guys. I love you girls. I love you non-binary people. And you know, I really hope you guys get through this okay, because, you know, it is very scary, and I really do appreciate that you listen to this stupid podcast every week, and, you know, I want nothing but the best for all of you, so I hope everybody gets through this okay. It's a really tough transition,
right?
But we should
Big talk Japan Pro Wrestling.
Big Japan Pro Wrestling at March 3rd, Strong Climb Korakuen. First of all, boy, does Korakuen look fucking empty with a announced 565 fans. I don't think they even had that many in there, honestly. It looked more like, I would guess, something like 400. But, you know, this is held. So this show aired on March 10th, which is why we're talking about it now. It aired on Samurai TV on March 10th. But, you know, if you think about March 3rd, that was, like, close to the peak of the outbreak in Japan, right? Like, that's where you know, New Japan is canceling all their shows. You know, this was supposed to be the same day as the New Japan anniversary show that was going to have Naito and Hiromu as the main event. So, like, that's what we're talking about here, where New Japan just canceled a lot of shows. You know, everybody else is canceling. But I guess Big Japan really, you know, they got to make that green. Got to keep the company open. So, and they really want to start the Strong Climb, I guess. So that's what we got here. But yeah, it looked somehow more... I mean, this is a joke at the time, but somehow it looked more empty than the Stardom Empty Arena Korakuen. I don't know. It was just like the lack of, I don't know, you're just not expecting the lack of people. So it opened with a fluorescent light tubes death match with, and this will probably take me longer to read the participants than we actually saw on Samurai TV, but it's Abdullah Kobayashi, Yuko Miyamoto, Kenkura Hoshino, and Drew Parker beating Ryuji Ito, Masaya Takahashi, Toshiyuki Sakuda, and Yuki Ishikawa in 8:08. A diving senton from Hoshino on Ishikawa. So it was very clipped. So it's tough for me to tell you anything about this one besides, you know, they broke a lot of light tubes over each other's heads. You know, any thoughts on this before I quickly move on?
Yeah, no, not it. Like, it made tape for what, 2-3 minutes of it?
Yeah, most. There was also a dark match, by the way, which you didn't see any of, which was Kazuki Hashimoto and Elden Demon from OWE beating Tatsuhiko Yoshino and Kota Sekifuda in 7:14. Hashimoto with a Death Valley Bomb on Sekifuda. So, match number two, also very clipped. This was Yasufumi Nakanoe, Yuya Aoki, and Akira Hayato defeating Oka Udo, Takuya Nomura, and Takahokato in 7:11, a reverse suplex hold by Hayato on Uto. Again, very clipped, but I did like the finish with Hayato, like, countering the double arm. You know, it was like, I guess, like, supposed to be a double arm suplex I see. Reverse. That's what I mean by reverse suplex hold. He basically countered the double arm suplex into like this like sit down cradle, which I love those kind of finishes where it's like just a counter straight into a cradle and you get the pin. That, I mean, that looks awesome. And I wish we had more finishes like that in modern wrestling, honestly. So I wanted to give a shout out to the finish here.
Yeah, I really like Kato. He had a good match. There was a Shinkiba show from Big Japan on February 27th that made tape with him against Yuji Okabayashi, and that was a really good showcase for him, so I wanted to shout that out here as well.
Yeah. Match number three, we got our first strong climb match of the night in the C block with, and by the way, this was the opening night of the Quiet, of the, I almost said the opening night of the Quiet Storm, the opening night of the Strong Climb. So everybody winning here gets their first 2 points. Quiet Storm defeating Hideyoshi Kamatani in 9:07 with the 50 centimeter arm lariat. This was, you know, a fun little power battle. I will just say before we get into match by match, I was not quite as high on this show as I think some people were. I didn't think it was like I saw some takes after when I watched the show, I'm like, oh, it was pretty decent. Nothing really that great. Just kind of a show. And then I saw some people saying the show was great. So clearly a lot of people liked the show a lot more than I did. I don't know if you're one of them, actually. I guess I'm going to find out if you go here. But it was a lot of, like, you know, very standard matches to me. And this was, you know, a good little power battle that I enjoyed while it lasted, but I don't know if I'll ever think about it again. I won 3 stars on it. What did you think of this one?
So I'm a little bit higher on it than you. I actually really enjoyed this. I almost skipped it, you know, at first, and I went back to see it. Quiet Storm, I mean, modern Quiet Storm doesn't really do it for me at this point, but he proved me wrong here, actually, so... really good match for me. I went 3.5. It was, you know, a big Hossy battle with, you know, shoulder tackles. The guys just wearing each other out. And it was good. And Quiet Storm, you know, kicks off his freelance career with what I thought was a really good match.
Match number four was Strong Climb Block A, Ryuichi Kawakami defeating T-Hawk from the Strong Hard / OWE in 12:54 with a Hurricane Driver. First of all, a big part of podcasting is taking detailed and important notes while you watch. And an important note I took here was that Kawakami is big mood with his red jacket and attire and shades. I don't know what that really stuck out to me while I was watching. he looks so fucking cool, but also like a complete fucking dork at the same time. So I can relate. Match was, I don't know. This did not grab me. And this, I heard some rave reviews for this one, but I just thought it was kind of slow and dull. You know, it picked up finally around the 10-minute mark with a superplex off the top by T-Hawk and then a really hard-hitting exchange. So that was good. And I basically just say a match that was mostly dull, but did get energetic towards the end. There's nothing really wrong with it, so I could go slightly above average, but it's a 2.75 star match to me.
Yeah, this was a match I felt like I should have liked more because I really like both guys.
I usually love Kawakami. They didn't seem like they were into it. So
yeah, exactly. It felt very paint by numbers, like they were just going through the motions of a good match rather than, you know, actually having one. Back and forth, I enjoyed it. At the end of the day, like you said, it never really grabbed me. I went about 3.25, so a little bit higher than you.
Match number five, Block C, Yuji Hino defeating Ryota Hama in 7:06 with an avalanche style powerbomb. This was good shit. This was the first match of the night where I was like, woo, I'm really into it. You know, only 7 minutes long, but just, it was Hino just struggling against the sheer girth of Hama. I mean, if you've seen a Hama match, you'll know what to expect. But, you know, by the time he finally hit the turnbuckle powerbomb for the win, it really just feels like, you know, he really overcame something here. You know, he was coming off, I guess, as a spoiler for another show we're going to be talking about. He was just coming off losing the 0-1 World Heavyweight title a couple days earlier. So he bounced back here with a big win in the Strong Climb. But yeah, I went 3.5 stars. I really enjoyed this match.
I also went 3.5. A very fun power battle between these two. It's crazy how big Hama is that he makes Yuji Hino look small. But Hino's on kind of a tear right now. I thought he had, you know, a really excellent start to the year with this match, the Okabayashi match, the Sato match that we'll talk about. There was a good tag in 0-1 that was getting some hype. So yeah, like you said, this was really fun. The, you know, Hino powering up Hama to try and, you know, do all his moves on him was a lot of fun. And I went 3.5, same as you.
The next match, so I will like totally understand if I underrated it. So for context here, I watched this show. What night did the NBA? When did the NBA cancel their season? Wednesday night, right? Was it Wednesday?
Yeah, that was Wednesday night.
Yeah, so I watched the show on Wednesday night, and like this match specifically, I watched like as the NBA canceled their season, and Trump gave his completely insane speech that tanked the markets and all that stuff. So like, I had a hard time focusing on this match, to be honest, because like, you know, the world was burning at the time. But you know, I still went 3 stars on it. I still had a baseline level of liking, especially like Jake playing the outsider heel. But you know, at one point he did this wacky little pose and went, "Huh!" But then immediately got drop kicked in the face. That was funny. But yeah, I saw a lot of people higher on this than me, and you know, it may just been that I was this match. I made sure I put a little note down that I was very distracted during this match. And this was like I had to keep pausing because like, what the fuck is going on? So there you go. I should have gone back and watched it again, but I didn't. So
yeah, I'm a little higher than you. I went 3.5 stars. Jake Lee is someone that I'm very high on. I used to be, I think I came on the show last year around this time, and I was like, yeah, I'm going back and forth on Jake Lee. I feel like I change my opinion of him every day. And
I'm never going to give up on Jake Lee.
Yeah.
You can come at me all you want. I'm sticking with Jake.
Yeah. I mean, I'm completely on the train now, which I think might be controversial. I think a lot of people see him as dead now, and this is like right when I'm getting on the train. But I was in Japan for his Triple Crown match against Kento, and I saw.
Whoa! We don't do that on this show. We don't go around saying you know what we're talking about just because we're in Japan, okay, buddy?
Okay, okay.
That's not the omakase way.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is, you know, I went and seeing him live. I think he gets a lot less credit than he deserves for his, you know, presence, his facial expressions, the way he plays with the crowd. Just that's what sold me on him, was seeing him in person. And also, I think he's kind of been on a tear lately. I loved the Kento match. He's had quite a few tags on All Japan house shows that were really great. He had the All Asia tag against Black Mansoor Ray and Omori a few weeks back, which was really good. And I'm really enjoying him right now. And this was another, you know, this wasn't great. I mean, it's Kazumi Kakuta, but I went 3.5, you know, a baseline, very good match. Something that I would say is worth watching. So yeah, Jake Lee gets the stamp of approval from me, and all you haters can come at me because he's great.
Speaking of a man who has a lot of haters, the semifinal, the Strong Client Block A, Daichi Hashimoto defeating Yoshiki Inamura from Pro Wrestling Noah in 1451 with a reverse STF. It's too bad Jack isn't on the show this week because, you know, he's like the last Daichi defender alive, and he would have been able to take a victory lap here because Daichi, I mean, this match is great. I mean, this was a really good match. And, you know, I mean, look, granted, Inamura is, like, I think one of the best young wrestlers in all of wrestling today. So, you know, I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But, like, I don't know. I mean, Daichi was good here. The match is actually good. You know, there was still too much Daichi screaming. The way he screamed in rage and fury as Inamura tried to break his headlock was really funny and not, you know, not exactly, I'm sure, what he was going for. And the match was dull for a while, but... you know, for a little while, but it really picked up again when Daichi, like, started kicking him down. And, you know, at one point, Inamura gives him, like, a pounce into the corner that looked like it fucking killed him, and then a shoulder tackle off the top. So that was, like, you know, getting another highlight of the match for me. And then, you know, Daichi comes back with, like, this giant German suplex. So, you know, at this point, I'm really not quite standing and pacing, but, you know, definitely really into it. You know, this was, quote, you know, like I said, actually good. I would have gone the full 4 if it wasn't for the super dull head scissors portion. But as it was, I decided to go 3.75. A very good match here. A rare victory for the last remaining Daichi fans because, Most of the shit I've seen him in the past like year has not been good, but this was. So there you go.
Same as you on this 3.75. Daichi was good. I really like Daichi sometimes, and sometimes he's really bad. that I can't get it out of my head that Ryo Gokutan match against Sato.
Oh my god!
He was just screaming. I can't get over
that. That was one of the worst like big match performances
so bad.
I've ever seen. I mean, poor Kofi Sato tried his best, and Daichi was like, motherfucker, we are having a terrible match, whether you like it or not. So
it was so bad. But he's been a little bit better lately. I don't know if you happened to see the Okabayashi match from January 2nd. I loved that match. I thought it was really great.
I saw it.
I feel like you were lower on it now that you say that.
Yeah, but, I think I was like 3.5 or something.
Yeah, I was like 4.25 on it. So I really liked it. I was 3.75 on this. Like you said, a fun story of the outsider taking on the champion, especially the young outsider. And you know, Daichi gave him a lot here, which I appreciated. A lot of fun.
I mean, Daichi's better when he gives his opponent a lot. Let's be real. I mean, Daichi's awesome.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. I'm not ready to go out and declare I'm a great wrestler. So I'm sorry to Jack if he does happen to look for this, but yeah, he was good here. So his selling is probably the best part of his game. But the problem is he also does like all that screaming, which is bad. So he should stop that immediately. Like, Will Ospreay, stop screaming, buddy. You need to stop with the scream. The main event, the BJW tag team titles, Daisuke Sekimoto and Kohei Sato from 0-1. Defeating Yuji Okabayashi and Sugihiro Irie from he's from Strong Hearts. They don't list him as OWE here. 1855, Sekimoto used a German suplex hold on Okabayashi. It was their second defense. Look, if you close your eyes and imagine this match, it pretty much was what you would imagine, the big dude bomb fest. My hot take, and this is probably a very hot take, is I think I like this slightly more than the more hyped big dude tag on the 0-1 show, even though I gave him the same rating. Sekimoto and Okabayashi had just the kind of big screaming lariat exchange you'd expect. By the end of it, they, like I said, pretty much close your eyes, you can imagine the match. Sekimoto, I was a little bit surprised that Sekimoto pinned Okabayashi clean with the German suplex hold, but then I remembered that he's challenging Daichi for the strong title in tomorrow, actually, as most people are listening to this at the Yokohama show. This is a really good match. I went 4 stars on it, 4 stars flat. Definitely worth going out of your way to see. And I think I liked it better than the 1-0-1 show that I think is a bit of a hot take.
Yeah, no, it was an excellent match.
That's what I figured.
There goes Siri. Siri figured it was a good match. I mean, you look at the people involved.
That was great timing. I have to say, like, Siri, excellent comedic timing by Siri there.
Yeah, no, so it was a great match. I mean, I love all 4 guys. It was great. Did I like it more than the 0-1 match? Probably not. But this one has not been getting as hyped, and I think it's probably right at that level. I think it seems like you think it's slightly above. I probably think it's slightly below. But nonetheless, I think it was, a match that you need to drop everything and watch if you haven't. The rest of the show is a lot of, good to very good stuff. Or I guess mostly good stuff. I have most of the show in like the 3.25 to 3.5 range. But, I thought this was great. I went 4.5 stars on it. And this is, just adding to Yuji Okabayashi's Wrestler of the Year resume. I mean, he has been killing it in every promotion, all around the country. And right now, I think he has to be one of the favorites for Wrestler of the Year because he is just, killing it no matter where he goes. If it's 0-1, if it's here, I think I saw he was going to 2AW to challenge. He's just going all over the place, doing whatever he can to rack up some big match.
Can you imagine what that show is going to draw, by the way? 2AW draws, like, everybody's drawing like 500 at Corkin. 2AW draws 500 at Corkin when there is no virus outbreak. I mean, that fucking show that they're actually apparently going to go through with on March 25th, Grand Slam in Corkin. That's I don't know about that. That's not going to draw. I mean, if they announce more than 200, I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah.
It's Shu Ashikawa defending the 2AW Openweight title against Yuji Okabayashi as the main event.
Yeah.
And Ayato Yoshida and Take Nagai defending the 2AW tag titles against Kaji Tomato and Tomato. Why did I say Tomato? And Shinji. Change you as a Toriumon guy, I think. Isn't that who the fuck I'm thinking of?
Chango? Oh, Chango.
I called him Chango. In my head, when I was like following Toriumon, you know, as a teenager and stuff, I would always read it as Chango for some reason, but now it's definitely Chango. But yeah, I believe this is the guy I'm thinking of. I believe he is a old Toriumon X guy. Just gonna double check cage match to be sure, but and cage match confirms he is indeed a Toriumon. Oh, actually, no, I don't think he was even Toriumon X. I think he came up through Toriumon Mexico after the whole Toriumon X split happened, and then showed up in El Dorado. So the famous El Dorado. Have you ever watched any El Dorado?
I've not. No.
Really, it's the. It's a good bad promotion. It's the best way I can put it. Like everything they tried to do ever was completely cursed, but you know, and they fucked up constantly, but it had a charm to it that you can't take away from it. But yeah, so there you go. El Dorado alum, Chango, along with Kaji Tomato or Tomato, whatever the fuck. I can't just shoot on text
again. Nobody's going to correct you.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, so that's happening in 2AW. Let's quickly talk about the Big Japan card before we move on. So that's tomorrow, the Big Japan 25th anniversary Stardust Superstars in Yokohama Bunka Gym. Show is on. They've confirmed. They said they're running the show. So they're defying Abe and his you know 10 more days or whatever. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to draw in the middle of this.
They're going to claim they drew 1,200, but they'll actually draw 700. That's my prediction.
So this is a very deathmatch heavy show. It's weird that in the middle of the strong climb, there's no strong climb matches on this show. But
there's a strong title match.
There's a strong title match with no strong climb.
Yeah.
So it's the main event is the deathmatch heavyweight title, 316 fluorescent light tubes deathmatch. Abdullah Kobayashi defending against Ryuji Ito, which honestly, if you're going to do a 25th anniversary main event, that makes a lot of sense for those two guys to be there.
Yeah. So I have no idea who walks away with that. Maybe I think you put it on Ito.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like Abdullah, but he's been champion for a little while now.
Yeah.
The semi-main is the Big Japan World Strong title, Daichi Hashimoto versus Daisuke Sekimoto. You'd have to think Sekimoto is going to end the fucking Daichi thing here because, you know, it's kind of been a disaster for their drawing and everything.
Absolutely not. No, Sekimoto putting over the young, valiant champion on his way out to WWE.
Okay. You think so?
I think that's more likely than people can think of. I feel like everyone's assuming Sekimoto finally ends the Daichi reign, but I don't know.
This show airs live on Samurai, by the way, tomorrow. So
yeah, okay.
We'll already have made tape probably by the time a lot of you listen to this. We have a bunch more death matches. A bunch of six-man tags, really not a ton on this show, but because there's nothing going on in Japanese wrestling, that for sure, at least, by the time of the next week's show, we're still probably going to talk about it. So,
and also, I don't know if you have this pulled up, but on, let's see, the March 21st Strong Climb seems to be the only one that's confirmed to make tape right now. I'm sure some others will.
March 20th, I know they were going to run a different show, and they... and I think in Sendai, they moved it to Shinkiba, I assume because the Sendai government did not want them running a show in the middle of this outbreak.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is – the show looks good. It's their Korkin main evented by Daichi against T-Hawk. You also have Okabayashi against Hama, Yuya Aoki against Yasuhime Nakanue, Taishi Takazawa against Asami Kodaka, and Akira Hiyoto against Ryuichi Kawakami.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good. So I had it down to talk about, so let me see when it airs. I think it airs only a few days later.
28th is when it airs.
Oh, so okay. Like a week later, yeah. So we'll definitely talk about that one, I'm sure. We'll get, you know, we'll get to it. One of the shows we were going to talk about in 2 weeks that took place today was the March 15th Wrestle 1 show at Basically, Gaora decided, because Russell One is running these shows, and this might happen for the All Japan Cork on the 23rd too, Russell One is running these shows while there's like not supposed to be shows in front of crowds. We're not taping that airing on our network. So I think it was just like a case like where they don't want to be seen defying the Japanese government, basically. Like, you know, it's one thing for Big Japan Pro Wrestling to, or for Russell One, a company that's going out of business anyway, to defy the Japanese government, but it's another thing for a you know, a major television network. I mean, maybe a Samurai TV's been taping and airing stuff, but you know, I don't think people realize that Samurai TV is a much, like, Gaora is a general sports network. Yeah. I mean, they air a lot of stuff other than wrestling, whereas Samurai is just wrestling. So I don't think Gaora wanted to, you know, I think Gaora just viewed it as like thumb of the nose of the government, you know? So I think that's kind of what they didn't want to be seen doing that.
Also, you see they claim 1,200 fans or 1,400 fans or something like that.
Look at, there are like 10 people there.
Yeah, exactly. It looked really bad. Yeah.
But yeah, we were going to talk about that, what it was supposed to air on the 23rd with TJ in a couple of weeks. But, you know, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. Maybe it'll air somewhere, Nico or YouTube or something. But I did see a cameraman on in some of the pictures. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, they are supposed to be taking an airing in All Japan March 23rd, Korakuen. You know, who knows if they'll still be, like, that's right on the border, I think, of the government request. So I don't know if they're going to consider that, you know, maybe it depends on what the Japanese government says this week. But, you know, if they refuse to tape and air it, though, you would think it'd be okay anyway because of All Japan TV. So, or AJPW.TV. Whereas obviously Russell One does not have a streaming service. So just kind of, that's what happened there. But yeah, so the Big Japan show is coming up. We talked about both the Big Japan shows coming up. The Strong Climb apparently will be all your Puro needs, no matter what else is going on. Before I move to the other show, this is an ad week, Thomas. So if you were to guess on average how many people in the U.S. or how many days people in the U.S. have to wait to see a doctor, what would you say, Thomas?
You know, John, I feel like it's somewhere between 28 and 30 days.
Yes. Americans have to wait around 29 days to see a doctor in major U.S. cities. If you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction, you want treatment ASAP. By the way, I think 29 days is going to go up, but this is my guess. But yeah, that's where our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of your home. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need on your schedule. So just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. And if the doctor decides the treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free two-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups to your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. So with Roman, there are, of course, no commitments, and you can always cancel anytime. So if you're struggling with ED, go to GetRoman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/VOW for Voice of Wrestling for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Act today.
All right. Come on, what else are you going to be doing at this time?
What else are you going to be doing? I mean, yeah, you gotta be, you know, in working order.
Busy, yeah.
All the time you're going to be spending by yourself. you and the missus. I mean, you're not going to be watching sports. So let's go to 01 Pro Wrestling, a company that I don't know if we've ever talked about on this podcast. It's possible we have never talked about them. I can't recall that.
And not only is 01 going to get omakase time, which is, you know, somewhat plausible, we have so little wrestling. 01's going to get like flagship time this week.
Yeah. No, Lance, I think, watches way more 01 than I do. Like, I think he watches like every goddamn show that makes tape anywhere. And somehow, you know, they never talk about it on the flagship. I assume because Rich never watches it.
Yeah.
They're not going to have anything else to watch. Unless they want to watch Raw from the fucking Performance Center and talk about that.
I saw Joe tweet out his list of stuff to watch, and NXT UK was on there. I was like, just take a nap or something. Come on. You don't got to do this.
He watches that anyway. So
that's insane.
They got to shut that down, too. I mean, look, the Europeans, they don't do enough. They don't need NXT UK as like a fucking, you know, kick in the dick when they're down. But anyway. So 0-1, their 19th anniversary show. You know what? I'm realizing I'm a liar anyway. I think we talked about the January 1st show, not this year, but the previous year, I think. But
previous year.
We definitely have talked about it.
I don't remember
what that match was.
Oh, that was Sato and Sekimoto. That was really good.
Wasn't that the year that Iwasaki won the title? I think 2019?
The one, what did you say?
Wasn't that the year that Iwasaki won the 0-1 title?
Iwasaki, maybe, but I remember the main event at least was Sato and Sekimoto.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Good, yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna look this up now because I'm curious. Tora? I remember he won. I don't know. He didn't win the title.
That wouldn't have been the main event, anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, isn't there some young 0-1 wrestler who won the damn title? That guy who got injured.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. That was, I think, the year before. What's his name? It starts with a Y. That's gonna bother me now. Happy New Year, 2018.
You're gonna hear lots of typing on both.
So much typing. What's his name? Yusuke Obata.
Yeah, he's been like injured, right?
Yeah, he fainted, I think, at one point, like while he was on the top rope during a match, and like it was a very, very scary situation. Yeah. He hasn't came back.
So he won the title January 1st, 2018. You're right. Yep. So that might have been the last time we talked about it. But yeah, it looks like. Oh, he left the company on March 3rd, 2019.
So. Yeah, he hasn't wrestled since that match where he collapsed, I guess.
That's too bad. I liked him.
No, he was good. He was good.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that we've depressed ourselves.
We always do. You know, we're done. We're talking about coronavirus. Now we're talking about, you know, a guy's career ending. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so let's see. We have 0-1's 19th anniversary show. This show took place, like I said, on March 1st from Corican. It drew, they announced a number of 682. I don't even know if that was, it probably was inflated, but I think they did draw better than Big Japan. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but I thought it felt like there were more people there. I don't know. But yeah, so this is the show where a couple big things happen, which we'll talk about as we go. But the show opened with Yuko Miyamoto defeating Shoki Kitamura in 9:58 with a crab hold. So this was, you know, the best way I could put this is, you know, basically like Yuko Miyamoto. If you don't know who he is, he's Izami Kodaka's partner from 666. Who's one of those Japanese deathmatch guys who is like, for some reason, really good at straight wrestling. So yeah. Like, there's all these guys in Japan where like you watch them do regular matches and you're like, sir, why do you even like do this? Like, why do you even like, why do you like, why do you put yourself through death matches? Like, you're clearly good enough at regular wrestling to not need to do this, but for some reason he does. So There you go. But yeah, this was a very solid opener. I thought it was really good, actually. Started with some solid mat wrestling, and we got to a really fun stretch run with a bunch of flash pins and such before Kitamura finally tapped to a Boston Crab. I went 3.5. I had a really good time with this.
I went 3 flat. Kitamura is a guy, I think, that has a lot of potential. Toa Iwasaki, who we'll talk about later, gets a lot of the hype for good reason, but I think Kitamura, you know, he has a bright future as well. I mean, it's 0-1, so the future can only get so bright. But nonetheless, I like him a lot. And Miyamoto, he's had a pretty awesome start to the year. I think he had that Freedoms match against Toru Sugiura, if I recall correctly, and he had a very good match with Isami Kodaka against Koi Sato and Daisuke Sekimoto for the Big Japan tag titles. You know, that team, Sekimoto and Sato, is having a pretty great run so far this year. We already talked about one of their matches earlier today.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So now match number two. Now here's where, if you watch this show, you probably had no idea what was going on. And I will be honest, I didn't either, but I can explain after doing some research. So match number two saw Taru, Chris Weiss, Yoshikazu Yokoyama, and Raicho, who are the current iteration of the Voodoo Murders unit. That's been like, that fucking unit has been somewhere, either All Japan or Zero One, since like 2005. Yeah. Like that thing has been going forever. But yeah, I mean, it goes away and it always comes back. It's like impossible to kill or something. But they defeated Ikuda Hodaka, Takuya Sugawara, Yasu Kubota, and Hide Kubota. Kubota, not Kubota. After a Death Valley bomb by Yokoyama against Kubota. So I will admit it. Again, first of all, I don't know a ton of wrestlers this match. You know, I know Taru, obviously, the Sleaze King. I know Ikuda Hodaka. He's been around for basically forever. He's been one of the 0-1 lifers. Sugawara, who, you know, is one of these wrestlers I like, despite knowing he's not very good. But, you know, I've always liked him from his Toriumon days. But the rest of these guys, I really don't know that well. I don't know if there's anyone else's match that you can give us background on, Thomas. Who the fuck are the Kubota brothers, for instance?
The Kubota brothers? Yeah. you know, on the spot, yeah. Not sure. I do know they had a match against Chris Weiss and Taru on the January 1st 0-1 Korakuen, which was really fucking bad. And that's all I can tell you.
So it looks like they started with DDT. That's something. Looks like they started all the way back in 2008, yeah, with DDT. That's really interesting. But yeah, I'm just looking through their careers. They're basically just indie sleaze guys. Like, it looks like they've been basically everywhere. But yeah, but then anyway, so like, as far as this match, like the end of this match goes, so the referee here was a guy by the name of Matazo Mimata, so when I looked this guy, I had no idea who this guy was, but even though I recognized his face, I'm like, where the hell do I know this guy from? He's like a Japanese comedian, an actor who used to be a high school amateur wrestler. So he's been like a pro wrestling and combat sport host. He was a color commentator for everything from shootboxing to WWE tours and, you know, finally Pro Wrestling 01. And he made his wrestling debut in 2018 against Taru in an electric current blast death match. So, you know, I assume that was probably a big deal. I mean, this guy has been in a lot of like TV dramas and movies and stuff, you know, with one name that I can throw out there that like, you know, Weeaboos listening to this will probably know, is he was in the live action adaptation of Great Teacher Onizuka, which is like a kind of famous anime from the mid to late 90s. But yeah, I mean, he's been around, you know, a long time as like a celebrity and comedian. So he was the referee here. He was apparently now the general manager of 0-1. That's how he's listed. And he turned on the baby faces, like he tossed powder in one of the Kubota brothers' eyes when they were on the top rope, which led directly to the finish. And then afterwards, he basically put on the white jacket from the Voodoo Murders and joined the Voodoo Murders. So I guess 0-1 now has an evil general manager. This comedian is like a heel general manager now. And you know, he came out at the end of the night. We'll talk about it. He made a match at the end of the night for a title shot for the foreigner in the group, Chris Feist. But yeah, apparently he's the newest member of Voodoo Murders. So,
you know, I was just saying the other day, if there's one thing that I miss since I stopped watching WWE, is I need more heel authority figures in my wrestling.
Well, there you go. 0-1. 0-1 knew you missed it. They gave it to you. But yeah, I mean, this entire match, like, you know, was a very indie-rific sleaze battle. I didn't even bother giving a star rating. I mean, it's not like I disliked watching it, but what'd you say, sorry?
I just said, no, you can't give us a star rating.
Yeah, it just kind of was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
I did want to explain that thing with in match two, in case you watched this show also and had no fucking clue what was going on. And like I said, I did not have any clue what was going on either until I, you know, watched a little more of it and, you know, and then, you know, did some research online and stuff. So match number three was a Shuji Kondo from Wrestle 1 defeating Sugi in 10-22 with the King Kong Lariat. You know, Kondo, this was a fun sprint. I enjoyed it. I saw a lot of people really going very high in this match. I was not at that level. I went like 3.25. But, you know, I thought it was a good match. I don't know. Are you one of the people who was like really high on this, Thomas?
No, I went 3.25 as well. I think I'm always in this camp on Sugi matches. As I see some people raving about it and I watched, I was like, yeah, that was good. You know, that was 3.25. That was 3.5, you know. So, I mean, I don't dislike him. It's just I feel like he does get – he's fallen to the category that he's like – people think he's so underrated that he's overrated now in a lot of circles. And they're like, hey, look at this underrated guy, Sugi. And I think it's like overplayed to the point that he's now overrated. That's just me at least. But I thought it was a good match. I just, you know, I saw the same people probably going pretty high. And I was like, yeah, it was good. But it wasn't anything special.
Match number 4 was the tag match with Towa Iwasaki and Sugataka Sato defeating Shinjiro Otani and Tatsuhiro Takaiwa in 15:51. In Iwasaki backdrop hold against Takaiwa. So this was the match that stunned me because like the two main events and even that Kondo Sugi match were getting hype in like the VOW Slack, and I guess it's about the only place I saw anything getting hype from the show. But you know, they were getting a lot of hype. This was not getting hype, but this may have been like, I think this was my second favorite match of the show. I mean, this is a really awesome match. You know, there's like this strike exchange early on where grumpy old man Otani just straight up punches Iwasaki in the face. That was awesome. You know, Takaiwa then doesn't go any easier on him either. He's like, he got the forearms and the short arm lariats going. You know, they're just beating the shit out of these two. You know, then like at one point, Otani, you know, starts doing the boot scrape. And if you judge it based on the crowd reaction, this fucking boot scrape compared to anything else in the show, apparently every single person in attendance risked getting an infectious disease just to see Shinjiro Otani do this boot scrape. I mean, did you hear the crowd when he was doing that? It was just incredible. So, you know, they loved them some boot scraping when Otani was doing that. Yeah, this the two old... I mean, the entire match was just basically like two old men going on a mission of ass beating. Takaiwa at one point did like this ridiculous sit-out Michinoku driver that looks like it could have broken Iwasaki's neck. And he did like a short arm lariat, only got two. Otani followed up with like a missile dropkick off the top, you know, the famous Otani missile dropkick. And then we got the Death Valley driver from Takaiwa, but Iwasaki kicked out again. And then Iwasaki and Sato finally got somewhere by double-teaming Takaiwa, and they did a really quick double-teaming of lariats and a backdrop hold, and that was the pin. I mean, it almost felt like a fluke win for the younger guys. Like, they got almost squashed for most of this match, but I think it kind of worked for, like, what they were trying to tell here, where, like, you know, they, you know, the younger guys, they survived more than anything. Like, these two old men were just almost on another level, but they just happened, they kicked out everything, and then they caught Takaiwa, you know, when they had a chance to double team him, and they just put him away as quickly as they could. And they're trying to like storms the ring and looks all angry. So I thought the finish was really cool for what they were going for. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing you see often where like two guys are just getting killed and then out of nowhere, they just, you know, they happen to get the exact right moment, the double teaming and everything. So yeah, I like this match a lot. I went 4 stars flat on it. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that you liked it so much because I also loved it. I went 4 stars as well. I was talking to Robin Reed in our Slack, who was asking, you know, what was to watch from the show. And I was like, yeah, I mean, the top two matches were both very good. And I also really enjoyed the tag third from the top. But, you know, who's to say I'm always pretty high on Towa Iwasaki matches. You know, he's kind of my guy right now. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, you really enjoyed it as well because, like, I loved this. It was great. I mean, Iwasaki is someone that I've had my eyes on for a while now as a really underrated guy on the pure scene. And he's just, you know, match after match, I think he never fails to put in a really great performance, and this was no exception. He was out doing his Kazuchika Okada cosplay here with his shorts. It was just really good. Like you said, good comeback from, you know, just being drubbed the entire match. And I loved it. I mean,
but it was like they were drubbed in an entertaining way. What I mean,
right? Exactly. It wasn't like yeah, like they were showing fire the whole time. It wasn't like It wasn't like a squash. I mean, yeah. But yeah, and you know, after the match, I think we're gonna get a group of the three young guys between
Iwasaki, Kitamura, Sato, and Shuki Kitamura, and they're going to be called New Spirits.
Tsuga Taka Sato, not Kohei Sato, we should say.
Oh, yeah. Right. The guy in this match.
The guy in the match,
Iwasaki and Tsuga Taka Sato, plus the guy from the opener, Shuki Kitamura, they're going to be called New Spirits, which is, cool.
I think all three of them are pretty good. I hadn't seen Sato too much. I think he was the guy that left Wrestle One to try and get a spot in WWE last year, if you remember that story. And everyone was like, hey, buddy, I don't know if that's going to work out for you.
But also, I mean, you're 0-1. I mean, Wrestle One, I mean.
You got out of Wrestle One, at least, yeah.
Match number 5, the semifinal, Masato Tanaka and Takashi Sugera from Noah versus Daiki Sekimoto and Yuji Okabayashi, the strong BJ team. It goes to a 30-minute time limit draw. This, again, another one where you could kind of probably close your eyes and picture the exact match they had. There was a lot of testing of strength early on, which I'm sure doesn't surprise anybody. I definitely want to make a note of Okabayashi doing an avalanche-style power slam on Sugera, which is, not a move you see very often, I feel like. It just looked very cool. The front power slam, the old British Bulldog style, where you just, puts him down. That was really cool. Everybody just dropped everybody else on their heads with the German suplexes as we hit the closing stretch. And we got the 30-minute time limit just as Tanaka had Okabayashi pinned with the sliding D. They timed it really well because it was 1-2 and then the bell for the 30-minute draw. So, I don't know if that was because it wasn't a shoot 30 minutes or not, but if it was, that was very well timed. Yeah. The only complaint I would have, I guess, of the 30-minute time limit draw is that was a very obvious finish in general. And I was not spoiled going in, but once it started going even, past 20, I kind of figured that's where we're heading. And, would have been nice if someone could have just taken a pin, but I'm a little bit, I don't know, I'm kind of over these 30-minute draws on this type of show, but it wasn't it was egregious or anything. It just felt very okay, I think we're going to the draw. This is a really good match that I enjoyed a ton. I went 4 stars flat on it, but, apparently that makes me one of the lower people. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Rob Reed. I know he went 4.5, and he's usually a very tough star rater. So, he's from the Red Round Table, Rob Reed. But yeah, I thought this was an excellent match, but 4 stars flat for me, not 4.5.
Now, can I ask you, were you spoiled on this?
No, I just said I wasn't spoiled.
Okay. I think this was maybe the type of match where being spoiled perhaps actually could have helped. Some people, you kind of have, you're in the headspace. You're like, okay, I know this is going 30 minutes. Whereas if you know, but don't know, it's like let's get to the closing stretch versus otherwise you can kind of just sit back and relax for what it is. And it was, like you said, this was a quick paced, hard hitting, lots of throws, lots of suplexes. I absolutely love this. I went 4.5 stars, tremendous stuff. I think all 4 guys are probably top 20 wrestlers in the world so far this year. Tanaka doing his stuff in DDT, Sugiura doing his stuff in Noah. Just 4 guys, that are firing on all cylinders right now. The finish was inevitable, even if you weren't spoiled. But nonetheless, I'm not sick of these 30-minute draws yet, and I think we've had some good ones this year already. I think Seedling had a draw with Yoshiko and Nakajima, I want to say. And then we've gotten Ayato Yoshida, Naoya Nomura draw, lots of draws, throughout the wrestling world. The Suzuki versus Katsuki Nakajima draw. So quite a few draws, and I can understand being sick of them already because we're not even 3 months into the year. And we've already had all the ones that I named. But still, I enjoyed it for what it was.
So I want to mention, before you get into the main event, to give you an example of how fast shit is moving with the coronavirus right now, at the beginning of the show, we lamented, I think, how we're not doing those full European-style shutdowns here. And as we're recording, they announced they're closing all bars and restaurants in Ohio and Illinois. So there you go. This stuff is moving very quickly. It wouldn't surprise me if, New York City is going to be next. But you can still get carry-out, apparently, and delivery, but they're barring all dine-in restaurants and bars and stuff.
Wow, so that's crazy.
They're saying, I think it looks like I don't know if it says the date. I think until March 31st. So that'll be like 2 weeks. But yeah.
Ohio has been one of the more aggressive places.
Yeah. I think they think they have a lot is the issue. But yeah, to jump in. I mean, not that I really want to get back to coronavirus, but I just want to mention that like some of the stuff we talked about at the start of the episode is already a little out of date, which is just crazy how fast this stuff is moving. The main event is for the 0-1 World Heavyweight title. Yuji Hino, again, defending against Kohei Sato unsuccessfully. Sato beating him in 1919 with a German suplex hold. So Hino failed in his fifth defense. Wow, I didn't realize he'd been champion that long. And Sato became the 26th champion. This is Sato's sixth time with the title. So, I mean, he's only been 26 reigns since this title was founded, which was the, is Masato Tanaka winning the AWA, the fake AWA world title back in 2007. It still says AWA to this day, which is kind of always funny to me. But yeah, I mean, like so Sato was the seventh reign. He won it in April 2010. Then he won it again November 2011. So he was the 12th reign. Then he won it again in March 2014, 16th reign. And all these reigns, by the way, were not that long. But then he would have two really long ones back-to-back. September 2014, the 18th reign, he held it for 408 days. He lost it to Hideki Suzuki in November 2015. He beat Suzuki for it in March 2016 and held it again for another year, 364 days, and lost it to Masato Tanaka in March 2017. And he hasn't held it since March, for almost exactly 3 years. So when, after he lost it in March 2017, now he wins it back 3 years later. So a sixth reign, but he has not been champion in a few years at least. So, I mean, you'd have to call him the ace of the company. So, I mean, it's never a big surprise, I guess, when he wins it. But there you go. Far as the match itself, it was an excellent match. I mean, exactly what you would expect. Another big, big, big boy battle. Hino at one point gives Sato this ridiculously stiff short arm lariat and then just gives the double bird to the entire crowd, which is like one of the awesome Yuji Hino moments. But then Sato gets his revenge with a headbutt so stiff, it immediately gives Hino this enormous cut, like blood pouring down his head. It looked nasty as hell. Yeah. But yeah, then he gets a few more headbutts. He gives him a power driver, only gets two. And then the finish of this, I thought, fucking rule, where Hino gets up, he puts his arm behind his back and just tries to do the big, pure, tough guy thing.
Yeah.
Where he staggers over, but he's so out of it, he can't even really do it correctly. So he groggily staggers over, keeps asking more headbutts. But instead, after, I think Sato gives like one or two more, but then he just goes behind him, grabs him the German, and just kills him for the pin. So I went 4.25 on this. I thought this was awesome. The best match in either show. Just super, super stiff, as you'd expect for these two. And just a very nasty match. And, with a finish that was one of my favorite of the entire year. So,
I went 4.25 as well. The finish was just awesome. And, the blood dripping down Hino's face as he did that too. Was just like such a cool visual. Hino's reign. How long did you say he held it for? A while, 6 months, I think.
Let me see, actually. Hino won it. Oh, yeah, he packed a lot of defenses into a short time. Yeah, he won it September 2019. So.
And I feel like half of these defenses didn't make tape. You see this? Chris Weiss, Shogun, Okamoto, Gaina. I didn't see any of those if they did make tape. But the Okabayashi defense was excellent. I don't know if you saw that. And then this was very good as well in a losing effort. A really fun show and a great main event to cap it off.
Yeah, I think this entire show, Top Defense, was awesome.
One of the better shows I've seen from a smaller company this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing on the show I would call bad. If you want to call a match too bad, I guess I wouldn't stop you. But even that, I think, had its charm. And the other five matches were all very good. Good to very good at least. And three top three matches, 4 stars, 4 stars, 4.25. I mean, that's an excellent show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a 6-match show to begin with.
The 0-1 Corkins never fail to deliver for me, at least. I feel like there's always some good stuff on it. And it's a style that I really like, generally speaking. So
yeah. I mean, it's a company I always have to remind myself to watch, but whenever I do, I almost always love it. So
yeah.
The problem is, of course, they don't make tape enough, but as long as they make tape, actually really good. But yeah, so that will, the show ended basically with, so the Voodoo Motors come out, including the new actor guy, the GM, who's like on a, he's like on a bullhorn, which is kind of funny, like speaking to the bullhorn. And, you know, he announces that the next title shot is going to be that Chris Weitz guy, who, you know, I don't know where the hell he came from. Where did Chris Weitz come from? Is he like an Australian dude again or
something? Chris Weitz? I have no idea.
What the hell is a Chris Weitz?
Probably American, if I had to guess. So. No, he's Australian. No. You're right.
There you go. Well, you got it. Those fights are cheaper, man. He's 35. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, so there you go. Chris Weitz will get the next title shot. Hart, they were like all attacking Hino and, you know, attacking Sato. But then Hartley Jackson returned, fresh from his
I just said Hartley Jackson.
Yeah, fresh from his WWE run. And, you know, he got a great reception. So clearly the 01 Hardcore is there, remembered him, even though it's been a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he ran off – he helped run off the various heels here. They played the video announcing that the 20th anniversary show in March 2021 – just like the 10th anniversary show 10 years in 2011, will be in Sumo Hall. So 01, trying to run Sumo Hall for the first time in 10 years. So best of – all I can say to that is Gambate.
It's going to be a disaster, but, you know.
Gambate luck.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be an excellent show because they'll bring in guys like Sugiura and Sakamoto and Okabayashi like they did for this show. You'd have to think they're going to bring in some very high-profile outsiders, but you know, I'm not confident when you're drawing 600 to Corkin. I'm not confident for how you're gonna do, you know, at Sumo Hall.
There you go. But that's it, I guess. So, you know, that's both shows. We talked a lot longer than I thought we would anyway, but I guess partly a lot of that was like coronavirus stuff. So, you know, look, it's gonna be a topic, I guess, as long as.
Yeah.
This goes on. I mean, most of the people listening to this are in the Western world, and you know it's going to be a tough. You know, we didn't mention Europe, but Europe is, you know, going through it too. You know, yeah. I mean, we're gonna be here, like I said, throughout the entire thing, and you know, as long as this lasts, and hope it's still a big topic in Japan. I mean, most of the Japanese companies have not actually come back yet, even though you know I'm optimistic, but you know, we'll see. All right, go ahead and give me your plugs here, Thomas. What do you want to plug?
Nothing much. Follow me on Twitter at Wrestling Ratings. It's all good. I mean, I don't really have anything else to plug. Yeah, everyone. I mean, I guess I'll plug. Don't fucking go to crowded bars.
Please stop going to crowded bars if they're even still open in your area, which they might not be for much longer. Please stop for at least like 2 weeks. Can you do that, please? Yeah. Like, I love alcohol. I went and bought a bottle, of rum to get me through this, you know, 2 weeks. Not that I'm hitting the bottle all the time either, but like, you know, I like to have the option to have a drink. But they sell alcohol; you can take it to your house and drink it. It's not like you can't get alcohol. So, you know, anyway. So next week, folks, I have to find a guest. Thomas, do you want to come on again? Because
it depends what we're talking about. We'll see.
But yeah, I mean, definitely
the pitch.
Big Japan, March 16th, Yokohama. We'll talk Judgment if it happens, March 20th.
You know, color me intrigued.
We'll talk off air, I guess.
We'll talk off air, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we got to sign the big contract, you know, give me a cut of the dick pills.
Well, you're going to get a cut of the dick pills. Don't worry. Well, this is social funny. Look, first of all, I have to say, I don't even know what we're making for those ads. So that's true. I have not been, I'm sure Voice of Wrestling is going to take care of us, but I don't know what I'm making yet for these ads. So as soon as I find out what I'm making, and I'm going to definitely put together a split for all the shows involving ads. So definitely I want to say that on the record for the listeners. This is a socialist podcast. The means of production will spread among the workers. But yeah. But anyway. So.
Joe Lanza's got to take his taste first, though. Come on.
Huh?
I said Joe Lanza's got to take his taste first.
You got to take his taste. But yeah, March Anyway, so next week is not an ad episode, though, so you wouldn't get paid for that one.
Ah, never mind.
I don't get paid for that one either. So. But yeah, we'll next talk. Week we're going to have March. We're definitely going to talk about the March 16th Yokohama show, unless it somehow gets canceled in the next 10 hours when it takes place. But, you know, assuming the March 20th Judgment Korakuen happens, you know, that's a big show. That's,
that card looks great.
So it's Masao Tanaka against Konosuke Takeshita for the KOD Openweight title as the main event. Chris Brooks defending the Universal title against Daisuke Sasaki, semi-main. Naomichi Marufuji, Hirashima, and Yuki Ueno against Akito, Yuki Ino, and Royce Chambers, the big hyped prospect from Australia, right? Australia?
Yep, Australia.
I can never keep Australia and New Zealand apart, I'm sorry.
Same difference.
You know, match number four, the Iron Man heavy metal weight title battle royal. And I'm going to go through all these matches, I guess, even though the show may or may not happen. Toru Washi, Tanshio Godino, Masa Takanashi, Antonio Honda, Kazuki Hirata, Mizuki Watase, Yuki Onayo, and Hiroshi Yamato. The business alliance of Tetsuya Endo, T-Hawk, and Nobuhiro Shimatani taking on Eruption, Katsusada Higuchi, Yukio Sakaguchi, and Saki Akai. Shima, Shoma Takao, Mad Paul, and Lindemann speaking of the business alliance against Shinya Aoki, Mao, Mike Bailey, and Makoto Oishi. And the main event, the official debut for the young boy, Hideki Okoya. He's teaming up with Shinma Katsumata against Naomi Yoshimura and Keigo Nakamura. So that card does look awesome. I hope it happens. Even if they have to switch to empty arena, I hope it happens. So if it does happen, it'll be airing on DT Universe and on Samurai TV. And we will definitely talk about it next week on Omakase. And I will definitely be happy to talk about some DDT for the first time. Well, no, we talked about it last week. What the fuck am I talking about? Anyway, we're talking about that JoJo show. But yeah, I hope that card happens in some form. We'll talk. Maybe talents are back. Maybe not. We'll find out. Somebody will be out. I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. But you know, I can't really plan long term. You know, don't even know what shows you're going to talk about
week to week.
But there you go. Thank you, as always, for listening, folks. You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase. Wrestling would not fit. Like I said, we are going to be here each and every week, as far as I can tell. I ain't going nowhere. So, you know, I will barely be leaving my house for the next few weeks. So you don't got to worry about the show going anywhere.
This would be a perfect time to, like, you know, for Japanese wrestling to pick up.
Yeah. So I hope it does.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it at the start. You know, there you go. All right, folks. Like I said, thank you, as always, for listening, and we will see you next time.